Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Vav Amud Aleph, in the middle of our discussion of the third Mishnah of the third Perek, which deals with Psulei Edut. And we got to item number four on the list of four, which is Socharei Shvi'it. And then we had Rabbi Shimon's opinion that said that originally they called them Osfei Shvi'it, and when the Anasim, the strong-armed guys, became more populous, then they turned to saying that Socharei Shvi'it. So let's see what this means. My Kamar. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Achi Kamar. This is the first approach. But Chila Yomim Osfei Shvi'it Ksherin, that those who collect fruit during Shemitah, meaning to hoard it, are kasher, socharim psulim, but those who deal in business and commerce with perot shvi'it are psulim. Mishirabu mamtzi'ei ma'od laniyim, what happened is a lot of people who were wealthy gave money to the poor to collect, vazlani vazfilo, and they would collect for them, umaitun, bring it to them, chazur lamar, chazeb, chazeb psulim. Then they came and said, both groups are psulim. So according to this, Rabbi Shimon is saying, not only socharei shvi'it, but osfei shvi'it are also psulim. Kashu b'nei Rachba. So in Pumadita b'nei Rachba, the children of Rachba were bothered by Rabbi Yehuda's explanation. Ha'mishu Rabu Anasim, then the Mishnah should not say that the thing change was made because the Anasim increased, but rather Mishu Rabu Hatagarin Mibayle. It should be because people engaged in commerce and salesmen, people who were hiring them, increased. Ella, they have a different take. But Chila Yomrim Echadzeb Echadzeb Psulim. They used to say that whether you collect for Shemitah, collect Shemitah fruit, or do commerce with Shemitah's fruit, you are pasul. Mishirabu ha'anasin, what happened? There were anasin coming in, umayninhu arnona. These are people who are taking a harvest tax from the government, and this is the Roman government. And then, as in parenthetically, we hear a story, kedemachris rabbiyana, this is Eretz Yisrael, used to say, fuku v'zir b'shvit, go out and plant during Shemitah. Mishum Arnona, because they're going to come and collect a harvest tax, and evidently, most Rishonim explain, if they didn't find the tax, they'd kill you. Which means that it's Pikoch Nefesh, you got to plant, of course, Shemitah Bizman Azed Rabbanan, Chazru Lamar, so then what did they say? They said, Osfin Ksherin, so they lightened it, and he said, those people who simply collect during Shemitah, they're Kasher, but Socharim Psulin, the ones who do business are Psulin. Here's an interesting story. They were going to Asya in Turkey in order to intercalate the year. Why? Either the Girsa is Me Asya, and they were coming to Eretz Yisrael, and the rest of the story seems to play out much better that way, or else they were going there in order to do part of the calculations, because we have no reason to think that they were the two greatest Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, and that when they left, nobody else was there to do it, as we heard about Rabbi Akiva being Ma'aber Tashana Benahardea. So, how do we understand the story? But not so clear, but the Ibur Shana is not really the main point of the story. Pago Bohu Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish met them. Itfa Badai, we joined them. Amar Ezel Echze Echi Avinuvda. Let me go see how they do it. Chazelohu Gavra de Kakariv. So they were walking, and evidently it was during Shemitah, and they saw a guy plowing. Now, by the way, this is, and Tosa points out, this is difficult because we learned in the first parak that we do not do Ibur Shana during Shemitah, the Shemitah year. So that's why it may have been a calculation or be an astronomy conference, as it were, perhaps. Amar Lahan, Kohen v'choresh. Now, we'll see later on why he assumed the guy was a Kohen. But he said, why is this guy plowing during Shemitah? Amar lo yachol amar. So they said back to him, he could have an answer. Agistonei betocho, I'm working for a non-Jew who owns the land. Tu chazelu gamar dahme kosach b'charmi. They saw a guy weeding in a vineyard. Amar Lahan, Kohen v'zomer, another Kohen who was weeding, was pruning, they could have said, oh, he needs the weeds in order to make a rope to lower the stone that crushes the olives in the olive press. So Rosh Lakish had a very quick comeback, a very alliterative comeback. The heart knows whether it's for this ekel or whether it's for something crooked. Hey, Amar Lubereisha. So parenthetically, within the story, we want to know which story happened first. If you hold the sequence to be the real sequence, then the second story he could have had the same answer, which is, I'm working for an non-Jew. It must be that the kerem with the Eikol Beit Avad happened first. And of course, that's not an answer you could give for somebody who's plowing. But then the story with the guy plowing happened. Okay, now, Maishna Kohen, again, parenthetically within the story, why do Rish Lakish assume the guy's a Kohen. Because we know the Kohanim were not very careful about Shemitah. They were suspected of violating Shemitah. The Tanya, as we know, from the Braita, Seah Truma Shanafla Mea Sein Shel Shvit. If you have one Seah of Truma, falls into 100 Sein of Shemitah fruit. Ta'ale. Then you take one out, and that's the Truma, the rest is Shemitah. That's Batal Mea. Pachot Mikan, if it's less than 1 in 90 or so, you're Kavu. Just let it all rot. Gavinam Ba'amayu Kavu, and in discussing that, we ask the question, why do they have to rot? In Karen Lekoin, did they make Truma? Sell it to a coin for the value of Truma, except for the value of that one, just like when one thing of Truma falls into 90 of Chulin. So you sell the whole thing to the coin for the value of Truma minus the one. The answer is because Kohanim are chashed not to be careful about Shvit, and therefore we can't give them Shvita fruit because they might sell it, they might eat it inappropriately, etc. Okay, so now, here's the deal. That was the story. Amru Truda Hudain. So they said, Rish Lakish is bugging us. Kimatu Lahatam, when they got there, and again there doesn't seem to be Asya because the rest of the story, Sliku Ligur, they went up to the roof or to the loft, and that was where they're going to do Ibra Shana. Shafu the Dargum Tutay, they took the ladder away so he couldn't come up. Atal come to Rabbi Yochanan, he came to Rabbi Yochanan. So again, it seems to be all happening in the Galil. Amarlo Bnei Adama Chashirin al Shvit. So he said, if people are Chashir al Shvit, Ksherin la Ber Shana, he was accusing these two Chachamim of being Choshed al Shvit because they kept defending people who were violating Shvit. Hadar Amar lo Kashali. So the Rish Lakish himself said, I really don't have such a question. Remember the story that we had with the three Roe Bakar who gave those different simanim about when it is the... when it is considered to be Adar, and we said that the Rabbanan really were relying on their own cheshbon, and what these guys said kind of helped it out. So in the same way, these guys who were going to Asya, who Rish Lakish felt were not really worthy because he felt that they were chashed on violating Shemitah because of how lenient they were and how many excuses they gave to people for people who were violating it, said, okay, so the Rabbanon have their own cheshbon, and these guys are just there for the ride. Okay, I buy that. However, that's what he said to in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Hada Amar Lo Dami, and then he said, it's not really the same. Hatam hadur imnu rabbanon v'ibru alahu shata. In the case of the shlosha roei bakar, and the guy when one said if the late blooms and the early blooms aren't at the same time, it's not adar, etc. The rabbanon then made their own cheshbon, did ibur shana. Hacha kesher reshaim, this is a conspiracy. Kesher reshaim enu min haminyan, and they don't count towards the minyan, meaning these guys shouldn't count, because they're part of the guys who are actually making the decision. Rabbi Yochanan da'aka, so Rabbi Yochanan said, you're right, we got a real problem here. So now what happened? Ki ato the coming to Rabbi Yochanan. Now these two chachamim came to Rabbi Yochanan because they heard what happened. Amrulei, karilan roi bakar, he's calling us herdsmen, velo amrulei mar velo midi, and you didn't defend us? So amrulehu, vikarilechu roi tzon mayim anilei, and if he called you shepherds, what would I say to him? Meaning, he rebuked them, you guys really are wrong, because you're defending people of violating Shemitah. It all started evidently because of their attitude towards Rish Lakish, which perhaps should have been a little more respectful. Okay, parenthetically, my Kesher Rishayim, you said it's a conspiracy. What is the Kesher Rishayim? What's the story behind that? So it's a story that goes back to the 8th century BCE, which is, at least in Tanakh, and then we have Midrash on it, a story about Shevna Sofer, who was the scribe of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who reigned at the very end of the 8th century BCE. And then, if you recall, in 701 BCE, of course, none of us are that old, but in 701 BCE, the Assyrian army surrounded the city of Yerushalayim, and Rav Shakeh, the general or the chief of staff of Sanheriv, came and made a whole call to everybody to come out and surrender, etc. Here's what happened. Here's the Midrash. Shevna v'daresh b'tleisar abvata. Shevna, who is Chizkiyahu's sofer, taught 130,000 men. Chizkiyahu v'daresh b'chad sar abvata, but Chizkiyahu himself only taught 110,000 men. So when Sancheriv came and made the siege, Katav Shevna Pitka, Shevna wrote a note, Shada Begira, and he shot out with an arrow to the enemies outside. Shevna v'siyato ishlimu, Chizkiyah v'siyato lo ishlimu. We've surrendered, Chizkiyah and his people haven't. Shenemar, kineh r'sha'im yidrachun keshet. They pull the bow. Konuchitzam al yeter. And they are preparing their arrow al yeter. In other words, the idea is, preparing the arrow, the drasha is, al yeter on the fact that we have a greater population than they. Havei kam yistafi Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah is very upset. Amar dilma chas v'shalom. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is following the robe and he's going to hand us over because a majority of the people in the city want to surrender. So we're going to be handed over also. So don't say that there's a conspiracy. That's what the Navi meant. When Yeshayahu told Chizkiyahu that, he meant Shevna's group is Kesher Rishayim. It's an evil conspiracy. But Kesher Rishayim and Amin Minyan, they don't count towards a minyan, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take them into account. All right. Halach lachtsov lo kever v'kivrei Beit David. So now Shevna went, because he felt he was such a leader, he went to carve himself, to dig a grave for himself with Kivrei Beit David. Ba'naviv yamarlo, what he said, the Navi said, Ma lachafo, mi lachafo, ki chatzav talachapo kever. Hine Adonai metal talcha tal talei gaver. God is going to make you move. You're not going to end up here. God is going to make you move like the moving of a man. We learned this in the second parak of Tubot. It's harder for a man to move than for a woman. That's what Tatuli Gavra is worse. And that's the curse to him. So, and then he said, he's going to cover you up. So the illusion is that Shevna then got Sarat. Why? That the Metzora has to cover up all the way to his mustache. And the idea is that that word appears in the context of Metzora. So therefore, Otcha'ato means that you hand out Sarat also. Tzanof yitznofchat snafa kador el eretz v'chavat yadayim. He's going to send you out like that. Tanahu bikesh kalon beit adonav. So what does that mean? He wanted to disgrace his master. Fichach nechpach fodol kalon. Therefore, Shevna's kavod became a kalon. What happened? When he went out to surrender, Ata Gavriel achte the dash of Apik bin Shariate. Gavriel came and he shut the gate of the city in front of the rest of his camp. Amrula Mishariata Checha. So the Assyrians said, "Where's the rest of your group? You sent 130,000 people. We only see you." Amr Hadrubi said, "They turned around. They left me." Amrulaim Ken Achuchi Barkam Mechaychepan. So you're making fun of us. They took his heels and they made holes in him. And they tied him to their horses' tails. And they dragged him on the thorns and on the thistles. By the way, he was a Baal Hanoah. Yeshayahu says, go to this Sochen, which is Shevna. They talk about Avishag, that she was called a Sochenet, a very beautiful girl. Sochenet, of course, doesn't mean that. It means consort. In the context of Shevna, it means the one who supplies things. But that's the drasha here. Okay. Now, continuing on with the pasuk in Tehillim that we started this drasha with, Ki ashatot yaharesun, yaharesun tzadik ma pa'al. What does that mean? It's all about Chizkiyah again. Rav Yehuda v'Rav Eina, we have machloket. Chanamar ilu Chizkiyah v'siyato neharasim. This is what the prayer is. If Chizkiyahu and his family and his group is destroyed, Tzadik Mapal, what has Hashem accomplished? V'chadamar ilu Beit HaMikdash yiharis Tzadik Mapal. The other one said what it means is that the Beit HaMikdash destroyed, what has HaKadosh Baruch Hu accomplished? V'ulam, our third opinion, ilu machshavotav sholoto rashayin anerasot, if we can't destroy the plans of Sancheriv or of Shakei, Tzadik Mapal. Good. So, b'shtamadamar ilu machshavotav sholoto rashah, ula comes out good, Hashatot, so it could be the foundations, meaning this guy's intentions, or Evan Shtia, the foundation stone. Where do we find that tzaddikim are called the foundations? The answer is dichtiv in the Shirat Chana, Tfilat Chana, Kiladunai, Mitsuke Eretz, Vayashat Alehem Tevel. God sets up the pillars of the earth and founds the earth on top of it, and the idea is those are the tzaddikim. That God has made wondrous counsel and great tushia. What's that? I'm Rabbi Chanan. Let me crash my tushia. Why is Torah called tushia? Shemateshet kochos adon, because it weakens you. Racher tushia. Shinam bechshaim ne'a satan. Tushia, because it was given bechshai. Torah was given quietly, so the satan wouldn't be aware. The racher tushia. This is the part we want. Dvarim shel tohu shalom mushutat aleihem. Words of creation that the entire world is founded on. Tushia. And so therefore, that's the tzaddikim who study Torah. Amar ula machshava mu'ela tefillah divrei Torah. Parenthetically, if you're worried about something, it can interfere even if you're studying. Shemar mefer machshavot arumim v'lo tasana idehem tushia. Tushia being Torah. Rabba imasukin lishma ina mu'ela. But if you're studying Torah lishma, it won't bother you. Shemar rabot machshavot levi shvatzat adonai takum. Etza sheish ba dvar Hashem itakum le'olam. Meaning, an etza that has dvar Hashem, it's the Shem Shamayim, will always stand. Okay, back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said that this entire thing only, that all these invalidations of witnesses only count if they don't have any other livelihood. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, halacha Rabbi Yehuda. That we pass on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Lazar, kulan tzichin achazu beveitin. Parenthetically, every one of them needs to be announced. We can't just say, if I have two guys come and testify for me, and there was never an announcement about them that this guy's a Masachik Kukubi and he's Pasol, then they count. Now, Ro'eh, what about a Ro'eh? Pliki barav achav ravina, chanamar boy achrozov, chanamar lo boy achrozov. It's a question whether a shepherd needs achrozov or whether he's automatically invalid. Bishlam alamandam ar lo boy achrozov, I understand, hanamar v'yuram arav stamar pasol. We had this in the previous podcast. The default is that a shepherd's Pasol. Alamandam ar boy achrozov, my stamar pasol. So then, how would you deal with Rav's statement that a stammer a pasul if he needs achraza? The answer is the bestam machuzin olay. That's the, what it means. It means that once we find that he's a roe, we announce he's a roe. He's pasul leedut. Okay, we have a story. Haimatana dam vichatime alay trained gazlonim. There were two gazlonim signed on a star matana. So Papa Rav Shmuel achshure. He thought to make machshure it al achuzin olay. We didn't make achraza. These guys are pasul, but they're gazlonim d'oraita. Now, what's the difference? In other words, Rava said, we only need achraza for somebody who's pasul d'rabbanan, a gazlan d'rabbanan, like somebody who steals from the chereshit of a cotton, etc., or this issue of smachta. But a gazlan d'oraita doesn't need it. What's the difference? Because a gazlan d'oraita, as we're going to see a little bit later on, a gazlan, a rasha de Hamas, a rasha who's driven by financial greed, inherently is possible. A gazlan de Rabbanan is only possible because the Rabbanan declare him to be so. Therefore, without the achraza, he's not really possible. All right, let's see. Amram Nachman, ochle davar acher psulin leidut. We'll see davar acher, unlike what it usually means, just as chazer, here it means getting money from non-Jews is possible leidut. Let's see why. The idea is that he will debase himself as far as he needs to in order to get money. Hani mili farhasya, that's only if he collects it publicly. But sin alo, if he privately has a loan or a gift from a non-Jew, that's fine. Parhasya nami lo amrin, ela de'af sholei v'tzunei b'tzina. And by the way, even if he collects it publicly, it's only if he could have gotten it privately, if it come a vazi nafshim farhasya, he doesn't mind embarrassing himself publicly. Havalo af sholei chayutu, but if he can't, he has to live. So that's not possible. If somebody is choshed al rayut, it means we suspect that he is having an affair, etc., then he's choshed al eidut. So Rav Sheshit, Ani Mari, Rav Sheshit said, answer me, master. Are boyin mekitfei v'kosher? The guy's waiting to get 40 makot. Because malkin al lotov ha-shmua. We give makot for somebody who has a bad reputation like that. And you say he's kosher? So Rav Nachman, the Indian Eidut Isha Shu Pasul. So Rav Nachman agrees with Rav Sheshet that he can't testify in a testimony that's going to affect the marital status of a woman. Testify about something else is okay. He said that's only to get a woman divorced. The suspicion is that this guy is Choshet al Rayot. He sees a woman that he likes. He'll testify that she got divorced even though she didn't really, so he could marry her. But Eid Kedushin is fine. Sepshita. That's obvious. No, I might think that he actually wants her to get married so she can be forbidden fruit so he'll enjoy it more. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that. He'd much rather have her be available. Okay. Therefore, if he's an Eid Kiddushin, it's okay. Ganav Nisan Ganav Tishrei Lo Shmei Ganav. If somebody steals a little bit here and there during the harvest season, that's not called a Ganav. So Hanimila Barisa, we're talking about like a sharecropper. For Davar Muad, a small amount. Over Davar Shinim Ramalachto, and something that's already complete, because he justifies it to himself and says, I'm like a Poel. After all, a Poel has a Dina Vachila, a Dina Ochel Bin Doraita, so I can also eat Doraita. Which means that he doesn't really think of himself as a Ganav. And that's critical, because the whole issue of being Posel Edut is because he really doesn't care about people's money and about their what belongs to people. This guy does. He just thinks that it's coming to him. Ikare Rav Zvid. Chad Ganav Kava Vasari Upasle. So Rav Zvid had some sharecroppers. One of them stole a whole Kava Sorim, and he said, you're Posel. Chad Ganav Kibura Da'ahini Pasle. The other one stole a whole basket full of dates, and he posseled them. Okay, so it has to be a small amount to not be okay. Hanhu Kvuroi, the Kavur Nafshe B'Yom Tov Rishon Shal Tzeret. There were some Chavar Kadisha guys, and they buried a guy on Shavuos, which is Aser. Shamtinim HaPapa, Papa threw them in Cherem. Upaslim Leidut, and he said they're Pasel Leidut. V'achshirin Avhun Rav Yeshua, Avhun Rav Yeshua turned around and said, no, they're Kosher Leidut. V'Papa V'Hav Rishoyim Ninu, he said, they're Rishoyim, they violated Yontif. So Savri Mitzvah Kavid, but they didn't know that. They thought they were doing a mitzvah, which means they don't see themselves as a Shoim, and they're still going to be careful about other issues as far as Edut goes. Ah, v'hakam kamasham tinun lahu. But I already threw them in Chayram. He said, and the answer is Savri Kapara Kavid Lorabanan. They thought, yeah, we did something bad, and now, as a Kapara, they're throwing us in Chayram, but we can continue to doing this mitzvah. In other words, the cherem is not there because we did something, not there to stop us from doing something wrong. It's there to sort of clean up the thing that we're doing that they don't like. All right, Itmar. Ein Zomem, very famous machloket. An Ein Zomem, Abaye Omer, Amar, Lemafreo Nifsal. A guy testified in Nissan about something. 2 months later, he's Muzam. Two other guys come and say you were with us at the time. Abaye says any testimony, including this one, of course, but any testimony going back to when he first testified in Nisan, since then, is possible. Rava Mekano Lahabo Nifsal. Rava says, no, only from now on is he possible. Abaye Melafreo Nifsal. Why does Abaye say he's Nifsal retroactively? To me, Dana da Asid Rashahu, because the minute he testified, he was a Rasha, he was lying. Atom Ram Ra, Atom Ram Ra, Atosh Ed Chaim Rasha, Atosh Rasha Aid, you're not allowed to have a Rasha be an aid. Rav Amar Mikan Mahabon Yifsal. He says, no, it's from here on in. Why? Ein Zomem Chidushu. If you think about it, an Ein Zomem is a Chidush. It's not obvious. Because my Chazit is Samach Tahani. Samach Tahani, why are you believing the second two witnesses who say the first two were with them? Believe the first two who say they were there at the time of the crime. So in the Chabon Mishach Chidushu, you can only apply the consequences of the Ein Zomem from the point of the Chidush, which is when we say we believe the second group. Vayelach. So Rava says that Ein Zomem can only be Nifsal from this point on, from the point of Hazama. Ikadamri, some people said, Rava Nami Kabai Sfirle. Rava really agrees with the Bai essentially. My Tom Kamar Mikan Lava, why did Rava say practically we only invalidate them from that point on? Shum Seder Lekucha, because if somebody bought property in ER and used this guy as a witness, he doesn't know he's going to become Muzam later. So it's not fair to him. So my Benayu, Ikabinayu Dasido Bei Trey Bechad. So how can we distinguish between the two versions of Rava, so where one is essential, the other is practical? Because let's say that two guys came and testified about one of the witnesses and was mazim him. Or we passed them not by Edim Zomim, but for some other reason, like he's a gazlan. In which case, in neither case, is it a chiddush? And then Rava would have to agree, based on the first idea, the first approach, that he's invalid from the get-go. The second one, he'd still have the practical consideration. Papi actually ruled like Rav in one case. But Mar Rashi Amar, the halacha really follows Abaya, and indeed, that's the case. This is one of the famous six cases in which Abaya and Rava have a dispute, and halacha is like Abaya. Ya'al kigam, Ya'al is Yehu Shalomidat. Eid Zomim is the Ayin, Lamed is the Lechi, the Machlok and Neruvin, Kuf is Kedushin Shalom Yisrael Labia, Get is Gilui Milta Begita, whether it's Miltahi, and Mem is the one we're coming up to right now, which is this. Mumar Ochal Nevelot L'Teyavon. If a guy eats non-kosher food because he enjoys it, because it's cheaper, Tivra kol pasul. He's certainly pasul as an aid because he's willing to sell his religious soul, as it were, for money. But lahachis, what if he says, I'm going to eat this treif stuff just to show you? Meaning he's not doing it for any financial gain. Abai Amar pasul, Rav Amar kosher. Abai says still an aid pasul. Abai Amar pasul, why? He's a Rasha. You can't have a Rasha as an aid. Rav Amar kosher, he said, Rasha to Hamas bainan. Look at the pasuk, Al tashit yad chayim rasha liyot aid Hamas, which means the only kind of rasha that's invalid as an aid is a rasha who is greedy. And this guy's not greedy, he's just defiant. Meitive, watch this, Al tashit rasha aid, Al tashit Hamas aid. What does that mean? Elu gazlanin umualin bishvuot. People violate shvuot, shvuot in the plural. My love, echad shvuot, shav, echad shvuot, mamon, doesn't it mean any kind of shvu, including a shvu have nothing to do with money? Like somebody who says, I'm swearing that the sky is green, or something like that, with no money involved. Lo, idi shvuot mamon. We're talking about shvuot mamon in every case. People who violate the shvuot mamon. My shvuot, why do you say shvuot in the plural? Shvuot alma, meaning shvuot in general, as the generic term, not referring to two kinds of shvuot. Meitevei, al tashet rasha eid, al tashet chamas eid, elu gazlonin umalvei ribiot. Atiyuvtad Abaye. So you see that Abaye has been refuted because we see that the only violation is a violation relating to financial greed. Tiyuvta. So neima katanai. Perhaps it's a machloka tanaim, this whole issue, about whether you're invalid as a witness for being a rasha, meaning somebody who's chayav makot or worse, or only for being a rasha in an area that carries with it, that's associated with financial greed. So perhaps it follows, goes as follows. Eid zomeim pasul l'chol atara kula de Rameyer. Rameyer says that an eid zomeim is pasul as an aid for anything. That's only if the case that he was huzam about was a capital case. Huzam b'dine mamor, but if it was a financial case, kosh l'dine nefashot. So neima Abaye k'reb Meir. So maybe Abaye who says that if you're mumar lahachis, you're pasul, it's like Reb Meir. Any time that you are no good, you're no good for all edut. For Rav Reb Yossi, no, Abaye Reb Meir. Abaye Reb Meir da amar amrinan mikul l'chumra, v'rav amar Reb Yossi da amar michumra l'kul amrinan mikul l'chumra lo amrinan. In other words, Reb Yossi says, only if you were found to be an aid zomeim, in nefashot, are you possible for everything? But if it's dina mamonot, then you're not for nefashot. So lo, I'll leave it Rabbi Yossi kuli amalo pligi. Everybody agrees that according to Rabbi Yossi, you would not be invalid. Ki pligi, I'll leave it or mayor. The machlokas, I'll leave it or mayor. Abaye krab mayor. Abaye says straight up like krab mayor. You're possible for everything. For Rav Amar kamo kamar mayor hatam, ella gabe eid zomim de mamon. Rabbi Meir only says what he does in the case of mamon. To rala shemaim v'rala briyot. And this guy is a jerk to everybody. He's not loyal to God, and he's trying to hurt other people. But when a guy is just eating the velot, he's not hurting any other person. He's just defiant to God. Well, then he would say the guy's not an aid pasul. Now, all of that said means that the only way to support Abaye is to say that we pass on like our mayor and we read our mayor like Abaye. Nonetheless, but Abaye was refuted. So the answer is Hahi Rabbi Yossi. That statement was Rabbi Yossi's statement. But say, Avi Nami Rabbi Yossi. So what? Rabbi Rabbi Yossi, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. Halacha always follows Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Meir. Shani Hatam Nesatam Lantanak Rabbi Meir. The answer is, in this case, we pass on the Rabbi Meir because I have a Stam Mishnah that follows Rabbi Meir's opinion, indicating that in this particular case, you follow Rabbi Meir, that if you're Eid zomeim, for anything, you're possible for all ediyot. So, v'hecha satan lan, where is there a stam mishnah that supports your mayor? Kiha de barchama katal nafsha. Well, we have a story. There was a guy, barchama, he killed somebody. Amar le reish kaluta, the Rav Abba bar Yaakov, so reish kaluta ordered one of the chachamim, fukayen bag, look into the case, ivade katal, if he really killed, lechiyu le'enei, he'll poke his eyes out. Atu trei sa'adi asidu bei devade kato. So two witnesses came and said he killed. Azaliu aiti trei sa'adi. So this Bar Chama got two witnesses. Asidu bei b'chad mehanach. They testified about one of them. Charamar kamoi didi gun of kabad chushla. One of these mizimim, as it were, poslim, said, this guy stole some food, kava barley in front of me. Chanamar kamadidi ganav kata de burtia. This guy stole some sort of a handle of a tool, which means the two of them together are testifying that this guy's a ganav. About two separate cases. Amar le madatech kramayer, and so now the Rishkaluta says, "What you think that we're going to rule like kramayer?" In so saying that since this guy is considered to be a ganav and therefore he's pasul dinim momonot, therefore he should be also pasul dinim nefashot. Which means this guy's testimony, even though he's a goslin, this guy's testimony about nefashot should be good and we should still kill the guy. So Amalei Rapapi turned and said, so this is, we haven't yet solved the problem, we're just seeing again the notion that in this particular case we rule like Reb Meir, and these witnesses are invalid for everything. In this case, this witness is invalid for everything, even though he was only proven to be a goslin, because the halacha is like Reb Meir. Hacha satam lantana Reb Meir. So mimai, where is that stam mishnah? We're still looking for it. Ilei mehadinan, if you think it's this mishnah, kol harui ladun dene fashar ar ladin dene mamanot. Anybody who is fit to be a dayan for dinner fashot can be a dayan for dinner mamonot. So mani, ilam Rabbi Yossi, if you think Rabbi Yossi is the author of that Mishnah, haika eidzomim de mamon, that's not true. An eidzomim of mamon is kashla dinner fashot, apostle dinner mamonot. He's really canceled on dinner mamonot. Allah, Rabbi Meir, he must be Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir is the author of that Stam Mishnah. Maybe we're not talking about nifsal because of some bad act on his case. Maybe it's because nifsal because of kirva to one of the balei din. Tilote mahachi seifa diktani yesh ra'u ladun din mamonot ve'en ra'u ladun din nefashot. The next part of that Mishnah which says some people are fit to be done din mamonot but not for din nefashot. Amayinu ra'u de'itzam din nefashot ra'u ladun din mamonot. Are you telling me that if this guy was huzam about a capital case, he could don din mamonot? Vadivri akol pasul. Everybody agrees with that that he's pasul. Absul yuchsin kai. That Mishnah is talking about psul yuchsin. That's not talking about pasul because of bad acts, but because of kirva. Achanam psul yuchsin kai. So that's not our stam Mishnah. Elahacha kasata lantana. Where is it? Non. Elu ena psulin. Our Mishnah. Amsacha v'kubim al beribin v'africha yonim v'sochar shvit v'ha avadim. It's added in. Zeh klal kol edut she'ein ha'ishak sheirala hafen en sheirin la. Any edut that a woman can't testify to, which is pretty much any edut except for edut isha, that a man died, that I'm allowing his wife to marry, these guys also can't testify for. So mani, in leim Rabbi Yossi, if you think Rabbi Yossi is the author of our Mishnah, like edut b'dinah nefashot. We have dinah nefashot, she'ein ha'ishak sheirala hafen en sheirin la. According to Rabbi Yossi, Masachai Pekubia should be able to testify in a capital case, and a woman can't. Allah Rav Meir, he, it must be that our Mishnah is Rav Meir. So what happened? As a result of that, Rav Papi saved the day for Bar Chama and said, this witness who has been attested to as being a goslin is now invalid to testify about you because we passed on a Rav Meir. Bar Chama was set free. Kam Bar Chama Nashke Akare, Bar Chama got up and kissed Rav Papi on the leg, on the feet. V'kibla v'charge de kule shani, and he agreed to pay his head tax forever. He said, I'm going to take care of you forever. You've saved my life. And with that beautiful story, we end our analysis of the very famous third Mishnah of the third parak of Masachet Sanhedrin. Everybody should have a wonderful day.